Good morning. What a beautiful day to celebrate Mother's Day, right? What a beautiful day. We were in the hotel this morning, and I looked out and I was like, wow, it's amazing out there. And then I pulled my weather app up and I was like, okay, it's still early May, isn't it? But either way, the Lord has provided a beautiful day for us. And as Brother Nathan said, we will share a little more about our ministry this evening. I don't want to take away from what Mother's Day is really about this morning. That's our mothers. Amen. And, you know, I'm in my late 40s now, and I only wish that I had the ability, the insight, the wisdom to appreciate my mother as a child as I do today. We lost her to cancer 11 years ago, I guess, looking forward to a great reunion day someday. But boy, it's amazing how your appreciation can grow even in the absence of somebody as you look back through life and you just think, wow, what an impact Mom had. And I want to, this morning, you know, I've preached a number of messages through the years on Mother's Day, but I think that I get better at preaching them every year. And I'm not bragging on myself, but because my sense of appreciation is growing. And to that, I owe not just my memories of my childhood, but also my wife. And how I am reminded daily at the sacrifices I see that she's made in raising our three boys. And realizing that my mother made those same sacrifices years ago. And so my wife has actually increased my appreciation for my mother. I would like to do something a little different today. I'm going to commit the unpardonable sin in some churches, and I'm not sure if it's here or not, but I'm going to preach a topical message. I know the emphasis is definitely on expository teaching and preaching, but this morning, I've preached those Mother's Day messages before, looking at Hannah and different women of faith in the Bible and how they raised their children in a godly manner, but this morning I would like to focus on the aspect of friendship that a mother brings to the table. I remember as a youngster, if you would turn your Bibles as I'm speaking here, book of Proverbs chapter 17. We will do a little bit of jumping around this morning, mostly in the area of Proverbs. But I remember as a youngster being raised in a Bible-believing church, hearing something that at the time did not seem out of the ordinary to me because it was something that I had heard often. And I have to admit that I never challenged this thought because, well, sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we grow up and we hear something and so we parrot what we've heard, but we don't necessarily understand it to be, we don't prove it to be Bible truth. And I think we're definitely strong in the area of cliches in many of our Bible-believing churches. And I'm not exempt from that. I don't hold myself like I'm better than everybody else in that. But, you know, a lady who was in my church when I was pastoring challenged me through something that she had posted on social media a year or so ago about the thought that a mother cannot be a child's best friend. And I was taught, raising up, being raised that parents are not to be their children's best friends. And I understand, I think, why they were saying that. I think there was this mentality that you won't discipline them as you should. You won't. You'll overlook flaws in their life in an attempt. You'll compromise your job of raising them in order to be a friend to them. But when we really look at the biblical description of what a friend is, I think we're wrong about that. And so this morning I would like to encourage you mothers, those of you whose job is ongoing and those of you who have completed the task of raising your children and now maybe you're influencing your grandchildren's lives, to rethink if you were taught this, and if not, maybe you were way ahead of me, and I think some of you probably were, in believing that there's nothing wrong with a mother being their child's best friend, as long as it is in the biblical context, amen? And so let's look at that this morning, and I want to just encourage you. I want this to be an uplifting message, as you realize many of you have done the job right, that you have succeeded. Maybe you look back and there's some things that you would do differently. Maybe I think that's true for everybody, though. But also, I'd like you to sit back today and be able to appreciate the good job that you did if you raised your children to serve the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask Him to help the preaching this morning. Gracious Father, I do appreciate this privilege of standing in the pulpit here at Bible Baptist in West Bend, Wisconsin, Lord. And it has been a joy to work with the pulpit committee at this church. And we continue to look in faith to You for Your direction and Lord, ultimately your will and who should be the next pastor of this church, the next under-shepherd, the one that will love and lead and guide this church in the direction that you would have for it. But Father, this morning our eyes are directed towards our mothers, and our hearts and should be lit with love and appreciation, Father, for the sacrifices that they have made and that they are making in some cases. And Lord, the dedication to the task, the enormity of the responsibility may be overwhelming, but Father, I believe we have a lot of godly women here, and Lord, I know that in my wife there's one here, and I know in my mother that she was one to me. And I pray this morning that I would do an adequate job of saying thanks and of helping the rest of us, Lord, to direct our hearts in appreciation towards our mothers. Help us as we look at your scripture this morning, Lord, to see it clearly, and Father, to go away with a grateful heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Essentially, I've selected seven aspects of friendship as we see in Scripture that will help us to understand what I believe is now very clearly is a Bible truth that a mother can be, and I believe is, indeed a child's best friend. Now, I don't think that I'm by myself in saying this, but how many of you here would just say, you know, as time has gone on, I appreciate my mother more than I ever did before? How many of you could really say that? Amen. And it's just, I don't know, this morning I was just sitting in the hotel and I was just sitting there just considering the message and thinking about my mom and thinking, wow, you know, I was so clueless as a child. There was eight of us children. And mom loved us equally. Mom loved us equally. I don't think you could go to any of my siblings and ask them, did you feel like you weren't quite as loved as one of the others? I don't think that would ever be the case. I know I never felt that way. My text here this morning that we're going to look at in first here is Proverbs 17:17. And it says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, we're going to deal with the front half of this verse primarily. A friend loveth at all times. There's no greater example other than our Lord Jesus Christ of a person who can truly love at all times other than your mother. I mean, there were times when I probably challenged my dad's love for me. I probably really stretched his capacity to love looking back. And I know that there were times when maybe the love did not feel as real. It felt like it might have been run a little thin with dad. But you know, I never got to that place with mom. And she was around me more than dad was raising me. And I put her through more than I ever did my father, I'm sure of that. But I can truly say that if I was to say, well, should she be your best friend, according to the biblical definition? Well, the Bible says that a friend loveth at all times. You know what I've found? That biblical, godly mothers love at all times. They're guilty as charged of loving even when it's difficult to love, even when it's hard to, even because, you know, mothers have feelings too. I know if you're younger children here, that might be really very shocking to you, but your mothers have feelings. And, you know, I remember a time when I was in my early teens, and back talk and sass was not allowed in our house. I don't know if anybody can give me a witness on that, but that was just something that was not allowed, particularly if dad was around. But now, if dad wasn't there, sometimes, you know, mother being more patient, more gracious, maybe the envelope would get pushed in that area a little bit. And I remember one time, back talking my mom, and I don't remember even what I said. But whatever I said to her, I remember seeing the hurt register on her face. And boy, that was just like a knife right through my heart. Because I realized that even as a teenager, that my mom really loved me. She really cared for me. And even though at times it felt like if she would have loved me, she would have allowed me to do whatever I wanted, time has proven that love puts boundaries out there. Love establishes borders and says you need to live inside this. And so I would say that according to this test, a mother is indeed the best candidate for being the best friend because she loves at all times. She loves when she's not loved in return. The second aspect of this we see just on the opposite page of chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 18. Look down to verse 24. And it says here, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, in every one of these aspects that I'm going to point out to you this morning, you're going to be able to put Jesus Christ in that place. Because He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is the true friend that loves at all times, even eclipsing what our mothers, the capacity that they have to love us. But we see that a mother sticks closer than other friends do. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, we just found out in Proverbs chapter 17 that a brother is born for adversity. And so sometimes there's adversity as brothers go, and I can attest to that, and probably if you have a brother, you can as well. But it speaks here of a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Brothers are really close. Brothers get in trouble together. Brothers cover for each other sometimes when they shouldn't. I know that has happened in our family. And have you ever wondered what the statute of limitations is on coming out with the truth? Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Well, see, we're both 30, 35 years old. I wonder if it's safe to tell mom and dad what really happened to the car. Things like that. So brothers sometimes will cover for each other, but we find here that a true friend sticks closer than a brother through all situations. And boy, doesn't a mother fit that description. She's a natural best friend because she carried you to birth and then brought you through all those times. If it wasn't for her, you certainly wouldn't be here. We see that unlike other friends you may have through your childhood, she's a constant friend. You might have friends that come and go through your childhood. I think we all do. Probably as we get older, we realize that we didn't have as many good friends as we thought we did in our childhood years. Life choices maybe sort of reveal that. But a mother is closer than other friends. She is that friend that sticks closer to a brother, just like much like Christ in that. The third aspect I would like to see is in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you keep going to the right in your Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And we look down to verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. And it says there, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I'd like to say to this point of friendship that a mother will pick you up when you fall. A mother will pick you up when you fall. Now, that's very practically true in infancy and in the early years. But, boy, isn't that true if you have a good mother in your years growing up and coming up through your teen years as well. Well, I remember my mom being there for me. I mean, you know, sometimes those childhood romances that don't work out, you know, and your heart is broken and you think that you'll never live to see another day, you know. Such heartbreak, such destruction in your life so early on, or so it feels. But mama's there to pick you up. What about the times that you make mistakes in life? We went from kind of a lighthearted example, but what about the times when you maybe you sinned. Maybe you walked away from the Lord. Maybe you did something in your life that was not pleasing to the Lord. Maybe it was something that wasn't pleasing to your father. You know, many times mothers can serve, well, they should have the father and the mother should be on the same page. But, well, I don't know if I should say this with children in the room because I don't want to let them know what goes on. But, you know, sometimes there's a mediating process that goes on. Sometimes behind closed doors, mothers and fathers talk about things. And what would be appropriate, the appropriate way to handle this sin that was committed or this act of disobedience, this lie, something that has happened in relation to their child. And sometimes the child, your mom is your best friend because she says, now, honey, let's put this back in perspective. I think that's why I'm alive today. I think my mother was probably a very good diplomat when it comes to talking to my father when I had done things. But a mother will pick you up when you fall. I always felt so privileged in this area to have a mom that I knew loved me with all her heart. A mother who would see the good in me when probably everybody else was much easier to see the negative, to see the bad in me. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. The mother is that lifter up, or the one who is there for you. I'd say also that in the book of Job, if you flip back to your left, Job chapter 6, verse 14. Job chapter 6 and verse 14. Now, Job had some experience with friendship, didn't he? But not necessarily positive. Job learned maybe the hard way that not everybody that calls you a friend is able to practice friendship in a skillful manner. He found out the hard way. Look here in chapter 6, Job chapter 6 and verse 14. And he is answering back and forth. There's kind of some give and take going on here between his friends who have really not been much of an encourager to him after his loss of his family and his wealth and everything. But he says here, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. Think about that. A mother and her ability to show pity, her ability to look and to have empathy for her child, does that not qualify her for being a great friend? Job had none of this from his friends in his time of trial. None of them, they were miserable comforters is what he called them. He says, you guys are, you failed. You got a big F on this report card for friendship. You did terrible. All you did was take the salt and rub it into the wound. And they looked at him and everything that had happened to him was his own fault or due to sin in his life was how they had judged him. But you know, if Job's mother had been there, right? What if the book of Job was written without the miserable comforters that he had, the miserable friends that he had, but written about him and his mother was there, would have been by his side? How different would the story read, right? Why? Because a mother can show pity in those times. And he understood that. He knew that he was short in that area, that aspect of friendship was missing. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. How many times did your mother show pity on you in life? Think about that. Your mother's in there like, yeah, we do it all the time. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what we do. You know, and maybe if you're a child who's always accident prone and always hurt, after a while your mother says, go get the Band-Aids, right? But she's still the one putting the Band-Aid on. Sometimes she may get frustrated, but she still will demonstrate a heart of pity in a difficult time. I'd like to say our fifth aspect I'd like to look at here this morning is back in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to go back to chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loveth it all. Excuse me. I have the wrong text there. It says, iron sharpeneth iron, and that is not the right text. But iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpeneth iron. It's in Proverbs. That's not the right text or the right identification for it. But iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I'd like to say this about your mother as a case for being your best friend is she makes you a better person. A mother makes you a better person. When the analogy that's given here in the picture is that iron, when struck against iron, a steel file across the edge of an axe, when repeatedly stroked against that, will improve the edge and sharpen the edge of the axe, thus making it much more efficient and causing a lot less resistance when splitting wood. Iron sharpening iron. It could be used for the analogy of a sword or with an axe or with different cutting devices, things like that. But understand that in order for things to be sharpened, there must be friction. The file does not work unless it comes up against the other surface. I was in the logging business growing up, and it was in it even as a bivocational pastor for a number of years. And I can tell you that we carried a box full of chainsaw files of different sizes and shapes according to the condition of the chain and what we were doing. But carrying that box of files around did me no good when the saw was dull unless I brought them out, leaned over the saw, and started removing the dull edge off of the chains in order to make it cut again. And I can tell you that my mother did that for me. I'm telling you, if you're here today, because you're here today, your mother did that for you. She sharpened you. And what does that look like in life? Well, while a mother does have to show pity, she does pick you up when you're down. She also has that capacity to say, okay, I love you, but if you ever want to get married, you really need to work on this. Or if you have any hopes of graduating high school, you really need to buckle down on your studies. You really do need to take this more serious than you're taking it. Or if she saw some deception in your life, some dishonest type of character that was in your life, she would sit you down and say, listen, son, the Bible says this. Thou shalt not lie. You need to think about this. You need to be right. You need to be right with God so you can be right in life. A mother has that tough job. She has the nice jobs of doing the things that reward her in a pleasant way, but she also has the tougher jobs of doing those things that are not so easy. She makes you a better person. I remember when I was probably 13, 14 years old, a very distinct memory that I have of a conversation between my mother and I. And she had asked me to do a couple things. One of them was to create a flower bed for her, and for her to plant her flowers in the spring, and a couple other little things. Oh, sure, yeah, I'll do it. I love doing that, Mom. I'll do that, no problem. And, you know, you go out to do that, and you find out the weather's nice, and somebody has the ball and wants to play ball, or you started on a fort across the road from our house where we used to build our forts, and you started on a tree fort, and, man, this was just, there's going to be a whole lot better day to work on the flower beds than today because the sun is shining, you know, the fish are calling, something's going on. But I remember one time my mom looked at me and she says, son, you need to learn to finish what you start. You need to learn to finish what you start. And that kind of, you know, it doesn't seem like a big thing, but it kind of hurt my feelings. I thought, oh, man, can't you see what I'm doing? I'm doing this, I'm doing this. She said, yeah, you're great at starting, but why don't you finish one of those projects? And, oh, I was so wounded in my heart because, oh, how could Mom say something, you know, so unkind to me? But you know what? She was right. And I went outside and I started looking at the three or four things I had started for, none of which had been finished, and it taught me something. And it's something that stuck with me for a lot of years. A mother has to sharpen her children, and sharpening has to come against friction. It cannot happen without there being some abrasive interaction or something that maybe rubs you the wrong way, but in the end produces something that is much better in you. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of the friend. Mother's wounds, whatever she said to me, the things that she did to me, and she wasn't perfect, and your mother wasn't perfect either, and you maybe can pick out some of her failures as you think about it today. But I can tell you something. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And those things that may hurt you at the time were actually said to you to bring something better about in your life. So your mother makes you a better person in those ways. I'd like to say this, that she gives good advice in chapter 27 here. It says, ointment and perfume, verse 9, Proverbs 27:9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Let me read that again. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Mothers give good advice. My boys probably get, and my wife, they hear me say things and they're like, where did that come from? It's like, oh, I just remembered that was something Mom told me. I remember a particular piece of advice, and I probably could have wrote a book on them, but moms are good for this, I think. One time I came home from school, and there was this, you know, it was a small Christian school, so there's always a lot of gossip and stuff that seemed to go with that. I remember sharing something that I had heard, and one of my friends had told me this, or one of my friends, in quotes, had told me this. And she says, just remember, son, that a dog that'll dig up a bone and bring it to you will also carry it to somebody else. Why in the world do we have to speak in parables, Mom? Just say it. Well, what she was saying was, the person that'll come running to you with this great piece of gossip, this juicy bit of gossip, will also turn and take a story about you and tell it to somebody else. Well, that's a practical truth in life to remember, isn't it? I mean, so many times I can look back where Mom guided me with her counsel. She had life experience. I mean, I know many times when you're a child, you're like, well, what in the world does Mom and Dad know about life? They're old people. You know, I thought, looking back, when my mom was in her 40s, I thought she was ancient when I was a kid. I'm like, man, 40s, that's childhood, right? I mean, how many degrees? The 40s is childhood. It's getting younger all the time, that decade. But my mother had a lot of good advice. And I believe that you mothers have the opportunity to be a really true friend by giving good advice. Now, I can tell you about some bad advice I got from my friends. How many of you can attest to that you probably heard some bad advice from friends? But I have to tell you that I really can't think of anything my mom ever told me that she counseled me to do or not do that was really bad advice. And my mother's a born-again Christian. I'm privileged in that. Maybe your mother was not. But I feel blessed in that I can look back and say, my mother, she sharpened me by hearty counsel. She gave great advice to me. And then I'd like to say, lastly here, let's flip over to the New Testament, to the book of John, chapter 15. And we'll find the words of our Lord here, John chapter 15, verse 12. Jesus speaking here, he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus would literally lay down his life for us, his friends. And he had told his disciples also, he says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, but friends." In the relationship that we have in Christ is a relationship of a true and perfect friend. And Jesus would soon, in this, following this text, soon literally lay down his life for the whole world, and particularly for those who received him as their Savior. He was truly a friend in that way, and as a mutual friendship. But I think about this in regard to motherhood. And beginning from conception, clear through birth, a mother is yielding up her health in order to bring a child into this world. Think about the sacrifice that goes into and the way a mother's body is changed when she bears children. It's a sacrifice. It's a change. It's medically proven. It's common sense proven that once you have done that, you've made a sacrifice that has forever changed your body. And in some cases, many mothers have indeed died while giving birth to their children or while carrying their children. That's an ultimate sacrifice. But then again, in a very practical and widely applicable sense of the word, a mother lays down her life from the moment she begins to start a family. And whatever the dreams were, and young girls have dreams too, and sometimes their dreams is indeed to be a wife and a mother and to be a homemaker. And that's great. Praise God for every little girl that dreams that way. And there's other ladies who had dreams of a career or dreams of some other avenue in life. And as the family begins, the dreams sometimes change. You follow what I'm saying here? And that's a sacrifice. That's a laying down of life in a sense, in a very real sense. And as you think about your mother today, maybe if your mother is still with you, maybe you could ask her, maybe it would encourage you to be a spirit of gratitude within you if you'd say, "What were some of your dreams as a child? What did you dream of doing before you met Dad, before you got married, and before you started a family? What were your dreams? Did you dream of being a missionary? Did you dream of being this?" Or not that those things are mutually exclusive, but I'm just saying, what were the things that you dreamed of, and how did? And your mom's never going to tell you. She's never going to say, "Well, I had to give that up because of you." She's not likely to ever say anything like that to you. But you have enough wisdom to read between the lines, right? Have enough wisdom to read between the lines, and I believe it'll increase your appreciation. She lays down her life for her children. My, oh my, I know for sure, and I'm not here to hold my mother up as a standard of perfection because she wasn't, but I can only speak about my mother because she was my mom. But I know for sure that my mom raised 8 of us children, saw that we had the best that she had to give to us at every meal, in clothing and in keeping of the house and in instilling Christian character into us, memorizing Bible verses at home. I go around my life sometimes today, and I'll be humming a hymn or singing it, and I'll think, I can just hear Mom doing that. Things are engraved in my mind. And you mothers, you have this opportunity, this privilege that is a sacrifice to instill into your children this godly character and these biblical foundations that are built upon. And I just hope that encourages you today to consider these things. I'd like us to bow our heads for just a minute. And I'm not going to ask you to come forward to respond to an altar call or anything like this. But as I was preparing for this message, I thought to myself, it's one thing to come and to have a lot of fond memories, which I can do and which I have shared with you several of them. But it's another thing, and the challenge for me today was to, one, praise you mothers who are doing the work according to God's word. You're raising your children for the Lord. That was the one aspect of it. But the other aspect, and I think this is everybody that's here has a mother or had a mother, to cause us to do something different, to make it not just be a day where we honor our mothers, but to live life with a fuller sense of appreciation and gratitude for the sacrifices that our mothers have made for us. And if there's an invitation to be given today, it's simply this. Are you grateful? Have you taken time to look your mother in the face, if it's possible to do, and to tell her how much you love her and how profoundly thankful you are? It might help you to take a piece of paper and a pen and jot down some things that you have come to love and appreciate about your mother. And then pass that to her. Give that to her while you can. Tell her thanks. Look her in the face. Let her know how much you love her. As I speak to some younger children and teens to hear today, I just want to challenge you to be verbal in your appreciation and your love for your mother. Tell her while you can. I would love to have that opportunity. And I think everybody here who's lost their mother would love that opportunity to one more time to give her a hug and to share love and appreciation with her that you no longer can. So that's a great way to avoid regrets. Amen. So this morning, the invitation is simply this. Communicate to your mother how much you love her. Thank God for her. And if you're here and you're a mother today, know that you are blessed in your calling, but know also that your children will rise up and call you blessed if you raise them for the Lord. Father, we come before you as we close this service, and I just ask God this morning that the scriptures that were given would sink down into our hearts. And Lord, that we wouldn't just mark another Mother's Day and go on about our lives, but Lord, that indeed we'd be changed as we look into your word, just like we are in any other area, and encouraged to be appreciative, encouraged, Lord, to express our love and our gratitude for the mothers that we have in our lives. I thank you for all who are gathered here today. May you bless them equally, Lord, for their labor.